Welcome in, everybody. Today, right now, you're listening to the recap, the repost of the Walk On Live Week 5, Michigan Week. As always, for the season, our new implement, we are doing these on Tuesday afternoons around 4 o'clock. If you can catch it, great. If not, they're posted to the main feed right here, and you can listen to them after the fact. They're a little different, but they're still fun. Let's have a day. Let's go. It's Tuesday, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and this is the live show, baby. And it ain't just me today. We have the degenerate in the house. We just finished up a DHT where we talked about...
We had a kooky time over there.
There was some conversations that were not safe for work. Or class, CJ. CJ, what are we doing in class, brother? What are we doing? CJ Smith here on the YouTube says... Damn, I'm in class. But guess what? Tyler never had that problem. Didn't go. We got a Facebook comment.
You can never be in class if you never go.
It's true. And I was the king of coming up with the excuses of why I just couldn't.
The lecture's online. I can just look it up on the internet.
There was a lot of times where the lectures were just posted online and the professors were being paid to read off of a screen. And if that's the case, well, you'll see me on test day.
And there was, listen to this, there was certain professors who were so lazy that they kept their same tests verbatim for every semester. So you would just catch somebody who had the test from last semester. You'd have every answer and you could just go into the class for the first time on test day and get like a 94%.
So elite, dude. Just so elite. Ooh, so my brother, Zach, needs a comment.
Here's my comment, Zach. I am not a sports bettor. The only thing that I would even say that I'm a sports betting advisor on is UFC. It's the only thing I actually care about or truly know anything about. Trying to bet the NFL is impossible. That's why people make so much money, or the books make so much money off the NFL. And true. Why sports betting is such a huge part of the NFL and why the entire NFL game has changed. Because
especially in the first 3 weeks, dude.
And it's just so hard to predict, but it's so fun for me to watch. And I don't watch college football. So I'll just predict on a few games that I know I'll be watching and see if I'm right. And that's my comment. I'm not a sports bettor. I haven't placed a bet in years. Talk to me about UFC. Or fight me, Zach. Shut the fuck up, pussy.
We've noticed the trend for you in the first couple weeks has been you're picking road favorites.
Or dogs.
Last week it was all road favorites.
It was all road favorites last week.
There's only two teams that are still undefeated in through 3 weeks.
I can't believe Buffalo got beat already. That throw by Josh Allen, I can't believe he choked that one.
Miami is one of them. They're 3-0. Found a way to win. They're about to be
under fire.
Wait, what do you mean?
Did you see how they handled Tua's concussion?
No.
They're saying it wasn't a concussion. They're saying it was a back injury. Dude, Tua smacked his head on the back of the ground so hard that he couldn't even walk. His lineman had to hold him up straight because he was on baby deer legs. They took him to the locker room. He comes out and starts the second half.
No.
Yes.
Oh, someone's fired.
Yeah, I mean, not only fired, dude, like the organization is under fire.
Tua is going to make him a couple milli off of that. He's going to sue.
Tua looked like he shotgun 15 beers outside of Kinnick and stumbled home.
Comment from Cooper. Cooper DeJean is watching the pod. Cooper.
The best player the Hawks have is Cooper DeJean. Shout out to the little white boy.
Modern day Niall Kinnick.
Shout out to him.
put him at.
Yes, Sean O'Malley is as legit as he looks and talks. He is actually that guy.
We were talking in the DHT about your boy who's 230 and hurt your neck. I'm assuming that he would beat your ass.
Sully?
Yeah.
Oh my God. What?
He would murder you?
Oh, I would run. No, he wouldn't, because I'm faster than him, and I would run as fast as I could in the opposite direction. My knees would be up, bruh, and my elbows would be at 90, chin to hip, boy. I would not stop until I was on the other side of the valley.
He's that scary.
Dude.
What weight does Sean O'Malley fight at?
He's the boogeyman. Sean O'Malley fights at 135. Sully fights at
200. Oh, he's that small?
Yeah.
Would Sean O'Malley beat your ass?
In striking, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if you caught him,
No, I couldn't catch him. There would be no catching him.
Okay.
He's such a good striker. That's the thing. That's the reason he can beat Piotr Jan, is because he is so otherworldly talented as a striker and fast that he can make it multiple rounds without getting hit.
Wow.
He's unbelievable. He is really sensationally talented.
Comment from Trent Klaus on YouTube. How about the Outlaw coming back strong for the Broncos this week? Drake and I just talked about this.
Get us up on Dickhead Tuesday for that one.
Yeah, Dickhead Tuesday. We also talked about we exposed Jesus Christ for his inability to get 9 tackles in a game, because they both had the same birthday, Josie and Jesus. And we were just pointing out that we just can't remember.
Jesus never showed up on a Sunday night and got 9 tackles with a sack and a fumble recovery
and a forced fumble. Yeah, like I don't remember the Lord and Savior doing that one. So Josie really showing out. Ben says, Kluver, does the butt punt replace the butt fumble in NFL lore?
Not even close.
I don't think so. And here's why.
It's happened before. People have kicked balls into the back of their protection before.
I will say it's never been as egregious as this. I mean, this one was – Morstead's lucky he didn't break his damn foot off.
True.
In that guy's asshole.
True.
but it's understandable why it happened, and it's because you're backed up. I don't know if that personal protector is their normal guy. It looked like he maybe was a backup. He forgot that when you're backed up, and Drake knows this, you have to adjust your length because the punter can't stand as far back as he normally can. So if you're normally at – what were you at, like 8 yards, 7 yards, Drake?
I think they put us at 7 or so, which gave the down line – listen, I got beef with Wallace for this.
Okay. Oh, Wallace.
Goat Wallace, I got beef with you for this. When they would put in their starting defense or keep their starting defense on the field in punt formation, and we would line up at 7 or 8 yards or wherever we lined up, that's a lot of room for those guys to get ahead of steam. And that is half the reason I am why I am today is – because Wallace lined me up at 8 yards and made me catch him.
And those weren't the 240-pound similar bodies like you. Those were the 320-pound nose tackles who were rumbling. And they just enjoyed putting their shoulder in your face for one play before they were going to the bench to sit down. So,
and let's not forget what that lineman at Indiana did to Jake Hewlett's face mask.
Just made it. I mean, faulty. He made it faulty.
Kevin's in the house.
Oh my God, Kevin Ward's in here. Is that actually Kevin?
What's more likely to end this trash podcast? All hosts disband, or Kluver gets caught embezzling funds for the feds or by the feds?
Number one for sure. I'll give you our tax guy. I'll show you the book right now. I don't embezzle. I just simply pay myself because this is my fucking company. Second, or the first part of that, all hosts disband.
And also, Kluver, Eat dicks for what the bottom of your email says.
No.
Yeah. Eat a dick. You're not my CEO. I'll quit this podcast right now. I ain't calling you a CEO.
If you quit, then I'm definitely the CEO.
That's fine, but not while I'm here.
It is what it is. It is what it is. Kevin Ward, how does Kevin Ward have time to be on YouTube right now, but not on the live show?
He's so annoying, dude.
If this is actually Kevin Ward, then we've got mega beef.
Cole.
Cole says, when will Drake be inducted in the Muscatine Hall of Fame?
It's not gonna happen, pal.
What's he getting inducted for?
Exactly.
Yesterday on the podcast, Drake, Kevin and I discussed our worst loss ever taken in a sport.
High school football, senior year, playoffs. It'll haunt me till the day I die.
How bad was it? And who was it?
Cedar Rapids Kennedy came in 3-7. We were at home favored by 20, and we lost because our kicker shanked the game winner.
You've told me about that one.
Yeah.
I didn't stipulate that correctly. What we meant by worst loss was margin. Like, I got beat by Dowling 60-7 my sophomore year. What's the worst beating you ever took? It could have been
pretty sure the worst beating I ever took was the first half of the Rose Bowl. I think that's as ugly as a game as I've ever been a part of.
Okay. That's fair. Computer is not triggering Drake today, at least for now. So we enjoy that.
We'll take that.
All right, let's see who else is in the comments. Yeah, this sucks. Saw this on Twitter before Drake. I don't know the extent of the injury. It hasn't been disclosed. I'm going to guess he's out for the year for a surgery. I'm going to guess that when Bo had his sports hernia, how quickly did he return?
Bo never sat.
Okay.
Bo played the whole year with no groin.
I'm guessing it's not a sports hernia then. I don't know what's wrong with Justin Jacobs. I don't see Justin as a soft guy. I think he is probably
pretty soft. Having surgery. He needs it.
Right. So that's what? Oh my God. How are we liking Jimmy Garoppoverty on stepping out of the back of the end zone? That's tough.
That's a really bad play, dude. And Jimmy's been through a lot. So I'm going to give Jimmy a chance for a couple weeks to make up for it, to see if he can get his feet back under him. But Jimmy's a good dude, man. I played golf with Jimmy one time, and it's hard to hate on him after that. He's a fun ass dude to be around. So I feel bad for him.
Beautiful human too. They are. Yeah. Let's talk about that football game for a second. Did we watch Iowa play Iowa in the NFL? 11-10. I'm going to turn the light on quick. You can talk to the people. Nobody wanted to score points. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. It's fuck Kyle Shanahan forever.
Oh, here we go. Lucas Van Wick. I thought you were confident nobody would decommit. Raphael decommitted.
Who's Raphael? Is that a Ninja Turtle?
Yeah, we had a Ninja Turtle committed to the program. First of all, Lucas.
Bet he'd have been hard to tackle.
Yeah.
Real low center of gravity.
Especially if he pulled out his sword. I'm not genie in a bottle here. I don't know everything. So you don't comment fucking so passive aggressively with the, I thought you were confident nobody would decommit. Second of all, let's take a look at why that kid would commit, right? We have a freshman running back, one class ahead of this kid, who's really dominating the run game for the Hawks right now. not only that, but we have a kid ahead of him in LaShawn Williams and Gavin Williams. It's a three back stable. And if this kid comes in, he's not going to play potentially for 3 or 4 years. Kids don't want to play or don't want to sit. So that's probably the reason, because for Caleb,
it's Lucas, eat shit.
I'm just saying, like, let's not act like that kid solely decommitted because of Iowa's offense. I'm telling you that kids, they believe in high school that they can come in and be a solution, right? This person says, Drake, Muscatine is 1-6, but has a win over Bettendorf. I call that a successful season.
Eat shit, Anger.
Fucking Pat Anger. We have a response. And he says, Zach Moore basically said what I said. Oh, shit. Drake's back. Drake is back. Back again. Drake.
Oh, shit. It's the cops.
Do you have any of those moments in high school where you said, oh, shit, it's the cops?
Oh, yeah.
I had a couple.
Yeah, you have a breaking and entering felony charge on your record.
It's not true. Not true. It's simply not true. Yeah, are the Jaguars good? Don't look now, dude, but Trevor Lawrence has found his groove.
I was watching something. Some NFL guy months before the season was talking about, do not sleep on the Jags because they have so much talent that if they just put it together, they're going to be really good, because they've had like 6 of the last 8 number one picks or some bullshit. So they have such an insane talent pool young talent pool that they just put it all together. And right now they are.
It's just crazy. There's only the Eagles and the Dolphins are the only undefeated teams. Everybody else is 2-1 or 1-2 or 0-3.
And who are the two quarterbacks that are undefeated right now?
They come from Alabama.
And they just so happen to have quite the quarterback controversy between the two of them.
Between the two of them or?
Yeah, at Alabama, dude. Oh, they benched Jalen Hurts for Tua.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Then Jalen Hurts comes back when Tua's shit in the bed.
And made that insane, yeah.
And comes back to beat Georgia so that they can win the national championship, then transfers to Oklahoma, is in the Heisman conversation at Oklahoma, and is now also undefeated with Tua. That's a pretty badass story.
It is quite the story for their college careers. Does Alabama have 4 starting quarterbacks in the league? Mac Jones, Tua. I can't think of the other one. Pat's just being he sells, what does he sell? Mortgages?
I think so. I actually just saw him when I was back for Schultz's wedding. I was at LeClaire. And somebody, my football coach, I was talking to one of my football coaches from high school, and he was like, yeah, I just saw Pat Anger. I'm like, what? They're like, yeah, he's at the bar next door. So I called Pat and I was like, dude, I'm next door to you. And he's like, what? Where? He's like, I'm at this place. He's like, I'm coming. Pat comes over about, half bombed up, and he's just fucking hugging me. He's like, I love you, dude. I miss you, dude. It was an amazing moment.
Pat's like a true homie.
I miss him terribly. That 2015 weight room environment with Pat is something that I'll literally cherish. That shit was so fun.
It was
so fun, dude. Training with Pat was so fun.
I'll never forget. So the lift that you saw on my Instagram, the behind the neck jerk, I'll never forget. Him and Doyle were my spotters. I was the last one because I kept going up in weight and it magically kept moving. Bro, I hit 355 behind the neck jerk with Pat Anger. I could have lifted a house because Pat fucking Anger was there. And that was back when he was still kind of looking athletic and not super fat. And now he just looks like, you know, now he's really let himself go. And just honestly, the conversations that we have, he'll send me and you a text probably what, like once every 2 or 3 months with something funny. It's kind of funny. This is false information. Drake is pushing propaganda. I never once got busted by Marshtown police for anything. Not to say that I couldn't have, but I never did. We talked about this on DHT as well. Jack Baragi on YouTube says, since Drake won't be podcasting anymore, what's his top five favorite breads? Are you going to let us, are you going to give me your top five and let us talk about them on the show? Or do you want to talk about it right now?
I mean, it's sourdough and then anything else, right? Like,
okay. Yeah.
I put rye in there for a delicious rye toast with like a corned beef hash, or rye bread for like a really good, corned beef sandwich, Reuben. But I mean, you go sourdough, then you go, you know, rye, then it's like, I mean, go fuck yourself. Give me some white bread, I guess.
Here's a question from Zach Moore. If Petrus takes a COVID year and comes back and KF doubles down on him, are you going to be upset?
No, dude, because if he's genuinely the best option, then he's the best option. Like, I actually trust these coaches that this kid is the best option we have. That's the most upsetting part, is that he's the best option we have. That's basically where it all comes from. So if he's still the best option, I'm not going to be more upset than a worse option.
Yeah. Lister, Twisted Lister from the Discord, throws in a YouTube comment, addresses me as Tree Trunks, which is the correct the way to address me because of how fucking unbelievably thick and strong my legs are. Since you live in Waukee now, have you eaten at the Machine Shed in Urbandale? Answer is yes. My wife and I went over there because I had eaten there previously. We went there one time. Wife got sick afterwards. Like, this was several years ago. Threw up. And as many of you know, you vomit after eating a certain food or restaurant, and you no longer want to go to that restaurant ever again. And so we have not been back. But
you threw up after you ate Machine Shed?
My wife did.
Oh.
Yeah. She ate something and it didn't sit well, and we haven't been back, which is unfortunate because I love that place. I love that place. Eli Zosky says,
just take yourself on a self date, bro. You work from home alone all day.
You're right. I could go. Eli says, I swear a lip read conversation on the sidelines after Kayvon's touchdown where Dane told Riley and Kayvon that Justin tore a bicep. I don't know how that seems like a lot of he said, she said from your uncle's coach's sister. But it could be.
I think I tore a bicep yesterday getting arm barred. So I'm with you, Justin.
Kevin tore a bicep. Drake is, you know, inches from tearing a bicep every day. Tore your pec before, actually.
I think Kevin tore his pec too, not his bicep.
Oh, okay. French toast does not count as a bread.
I didn't say French toast.
Yeah, I'm just answering him, the guy. Okay, I did not see this. Ben Janowski says, did you guys see the article where KF says Dejean could play some offensive snaps?
Okay, finally. We're to the point where we realize that this little white dude from wherever Iowa is the most explosive athlete that we've had since Desmond King. Like, this kid is an absolute marvel to watch.
He's
Dude, he plays corner. He plays safety. He plays in the box. He's always around the ball. When he gets the ball in his hands, he makes fools look silly. I mean, this kid, he's a baller. I'm for real the biggest Cooper fan. He's my favorite player.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, Monty. I was a Monty guy for like 3 years.
But then he fumbled on the goal line. Tough one, you know?
Dude, I would never.
Yeah. Cooper did almost illegal things to kids on the high school basketball court and football field. The plays that he would make against
the play he made to win the state title was unbelievable. Filthy.
unbelievable, right? Like he's out there.
He looked like Shady McCoy.
Like middle schoolers. He was playing against middle schoolers and he's a true athlete. I did not know if it would transfer to college football, right? A lot of guys make kids look stupid in high school and then come to college and now they're just another fish in the big pond. Cooper's not one of those guys, I guess.
No, he is him. He is that guy.
He's the guy, the video saying, "Hey pal, you're not that guy."
Cooper, I told a bitch on him, quit playing.
Cooper is that guy, it turns out.
He is him. He's going to be my favorite player for a long time, too.
Long time. We switched kickers since the start of the season. I truly believe now that Petrus is our best option, showing that KF and BF are in the mode of placing the best players in each game. Yeah, you guys are – I'm sorry, Mike. I don't want to – I'm not calling you an idiot, but you guys are off –
I agree with you here, Mike.
You're off your rocker if you think that Coach Ferentz, either one, is intentionally not putting our best options out on the field. Are they, I know we were in a bad spot. The Hawks were down bad. I get it. But if you guys think that
we're still down bad,
boy. we're still kind of in the middle bad. But if you think that our coaches are sabotaging us by putting out guys that are not as good as what we have on the bench, you're just wrong. Like that's not how it works. Yeah. Here's a question. Does KF ever have it out for a team? Like with Michigan this week after the Big Ten championship game last year? No. When you hold a grudge like that, you let emotion play too much of a role and it takes over and clouds your ability to stick to the game plan, stick to the weekly practice plan. There's no room for emotional petty bullshit when you're trying to beat Division I football teams, especially top five teams. You prepare, you lock down everything best you can, but you don't, there's no grudges. There's no, I mean, yeah, it sucked. Drake and I were there. We sat in the top row and watched Iowa get bent over. Right. But yeah,
I had it out for two teams more than others though. Nebraska and Iowa State. I wanted to hurt their players. I was out for actual blood.
He said probably would be able to play offense, but they need him on defense. Didn't really seem interested in him playing offense. Well, at some point, he's going to become interested. Cooper can do it all. He can do it all. There are three DeJeans. There's a Beckett DeJean in high school right now who's balling out. Is it more likely that Charlie Jones and Tracy are regretting transferring, having barely beat FAU?
No.
Or Keegan Johnson takes a red shirt and hits the transfer portal because we aren't targeting wide receivers.
In what world do you transfer to a Division I team where you get to catch 30 balls in three games and just go ballistic?
Seven touchdowns.
He's got seven touchdowns?
Yeah, he's got seven TDs.
Did he even have seven targets last year?
Let me look it up. I'm gonna pull that up.
I mean, this kid's got more touchdowns than he had targets. You think he's regretting that? It sounds like the best decision ever.
I mean, I get his line of thinking, right? Like, you're essentially asking, how much does a guy care about team success versus personal success?
Have you seen what the Hawks are doing?
Well, they are 3-1. Purdue's 1-3.
Yeah, I guess.
That's not the Charlie Jones I wanted. Oh, it is the Charlie Jones I wanted. 41 receptions. Dude, he's fucking going off.
He's got 40 catches in three games.
41 catches for 533 yards and seven tutters.
Dude, this kid's going to win the Biletnikoff. What do you mean? Is he regretting his decision?
They can go 0-12, and Charlie Jones is just sitting back going. That's me. That's me Floyd Money Mayweathering just all the $100 bills, just making it rain. Let's see if I can find his stats. Okay, yeah, right here. In 2021, he had, oh my God, it's so fucking embarrassing, dude. Last year in 13 games. He had 21.
Games. 14
games. In 14 games. He had 21 catches for 323 yards and 3 touchdowns.
He has doubled every production number in 4 games. They're 1-3, so they played 4 games. And in 4 games, he has doubled last year's production.
He's 6X-ing his production per game.
Yep.
Wow. I think that's the answer to your question there, Nate. That's unbelievable. In fact, that makes me curious to see if anybody has, like, who's having E1 football stats. Who's having a better year than that in the country? I'm sure somebody is, right? But
I don't know that there is, dude. Somebody has to be the best, and 7 through 4 might be the best.
All right, we're going to look at receiving touchdowns. Number 1 in the country, Charlie motherfucking Jones.
Somebody's got to be the best, bro. And 7 through 4 is pretty good.
He is tied with Tua
for 21, which wins the Biletnikoff every year. 21 tugs wins the Biletnikoff every year.
He is tied with 2 other guys, but those 2 other guys have played 5 games. He's played 4.
There you go.
There's 3 guys with 6. So he's got, other than 5 other dudes, he's got 2 more than everybody in the country. That
if Cooper Kupp can win the Triple Crown in a high air raid offense, why can't Charlie Jones win the Biletnikoff in an air raid offense?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Yards wise, he is sitting 3rd.
Pretty good.
Barely. The first guy has 565 for SMU. The second guy has 559 for Old Dominion. And then he's sitting at 533 with Purdue. I mean,
that's right there.
And then let's look at receptions. Wow. Number 1.
There you go, pal. He's almost the Triple Crown. He's in the Triple Crown discussion for NCAA.
Number 2 is Xavier Hutchinson for Iowa State. Charlie has 10.2 catches per game. Xavier has 9. All the way down to 8.5 for 3rd and 4th. Like, he's a catch and a half ahead. He's
almost 2 catches ahead, because really it's 10.25 is what it is, which rounds up to 10.3.
He's top 3 in yards, catches, and tutters.
Really, he's top 2, not 2, in every category but 1 is how you should name it.
You're right. Wow.
Man, we'll never get a receiver again, dude. Charlie Jones just ruined us for the rest of the history. We'll never get a receiver recruit again.
I understand that it's tough to see that. I really do. I get it. I get it. I mean, you could give us...
We're fucked.
It's not great. Daniel McFarland says, Kluver, didn't you say you were Team Case of Padilla? Yeah. I absolutely did.
We're just team winning, man.
Because at the time, I can't even say that. I can't even say Spencer's really done a whole lot more. He has looked more crisp in the last 2 games. He has looked more on time. He has not overthrown as many people. He's had more. He's had more completions. He's hit. They took shots in the Nevada game. They took a couple shots in the Rutgers game. But he wasn't doing that through 2 games. And if he's not going to do that, his long ball, his passes over 25, 30 yards are his best balls. That's what Spencer is good at. Mm-hmm. And if he's not going to do that, then we absolutely have to bring somebody else in. I wouldn't even say I'm not Team Case of Padilla now. But at this point, you've seen Spencer take massive steps from week 2 to 3. Not massive, but steps. And then more steps from week 3 to 4. So at this point, you don't take him out. Especially this week. Hey, Padilla, you're in. You're in. It's Michigan. You're in. You know? Oh, what do we got here? Can we talk about how nasty the defense is? I mean, we all know how nasty the defense is. I mean, there isn't a huge uproar for our 5-star safety to be playing. I mean, I don't care if you're a 5-star or not. It takes a little adjustment to find yourself. He's playing special teams. You know, Wampa's going to play. Hey, Drake, here's a question for you.
Move on.
Speaking of guys that are dudes, looking for Caleb Johnson comps, hear me out. His length reminds me of Fred Jackson back in the day. I'll be honest, Joe. I'm not like a football historian.
Also, I'm not a comparison guy.
I couldn't tell you what Fred Jackson looked like when he ran. I don't know. Definitely don't blame.
Drake better take all road favorites again for NFL picks so I can fade him. I've been telling people to fade me for 3 years now.
If you faded Drake through 3 weeks, you're 7-2.
Yeah. And last year through 3 weeks, you would have been like the same. I ended up turning it around last year, but
we all ended up
positive. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we get better as the year goes on, just like the Hawks do usually. Does Iowa State beat Kansas this weekend? I don't know if you've paid attention, Drake, but Kansas is 4-0. And they have a top five resume in college football right now.
Dude, I remember the year back in like 2008 when Kansas had that quarterback and they had a great year. It was just the one outlier year for Kansas over a decade ago. You remember that?
I don't remember that.
Google it.
2008?
No. That's just a guess. I'm just saying it was such a significant time ago.
Kansas football records?
Like season? Yeah, just like Kansas good season. Kansas great season. Whatever. I don't know.
So they went – God, they've been fucking so bad.
So bad.
Oh, my God. Dude, here – oh, my God. It's been a you think we're hurting this year for Iowa football. Boys and girls, listen to the records. Listen to the records over the last 15 years for Kansas football. 2-10 last year. In 2020, they went 0-9. In 19 and 18, they went 3-9. 17, our senior year, they went 1-11. 2-10 the year before that. They didn't win a fucking game the year that we went undefeated. We went 12-0. They went 0-12. 3-9 and 14-13, 1-11, 2-10, 3-9, almost bowl eligible back in 2009, 5-7. The 1 year that you're talking about was 2007.
They went 12, I was close.
They went 12-1.
There you go. I think they had an undefeated season or something like that.
They went 12-1 and
then lost the.
They went 11-1.
Oh, okay.
And won the Orange Bowl. Wow. How did they fall off so quickly?
Hey, talk about a college football historian. Look at me pulling out the 2000.
Yeah, that's a big pull right there. That's big brain. Come on now. Dude, they went 12-1. The next year they went 8-5. The next year they went 5-7, and then they didn't win more than 3 games for the last 12 years. But now they're 4-0. Iowa State's coming to town. They've beaten West Virginia. They've beaten Houston. They kicked Houston's ass.
They're not afraid of anybody.
They've got a coach that is being talked about for the Nebraska job.
Nobody wants that.
I'd stay at Kansas.
Why go from one shit program to another just to get yelled at?
No, he got – Mangino got fired for choking a kid?
That's awesome.
What?
That's awesome.
I got to fucking look that one up. I'm too old. See, we were in eighth grade. A lot of you out there who are like, you know, 4, 5, 10 years older than us, we don't remember this shit because we were in literal middle school.
Dude, you know what I'm sad about? I never got to have the opportunity to get coached by Bobby Knight. Would have loved to have played for Bobby Knight.
You know who would be good friends? Oh, Swish is in the chat. Here we go. Swish. Behave.
I wonder if he listened to the front end of this.
This is unbelievable. 2009. This is good stuff. This is just two young bucks that are 28 years old. Well, Drake's still 27. Oh my God. I don't want to do a fucking look how fat Mangino is. Unbelievable. The Kansas Athletic Department is conducting an investigation of football coach Mark Mangino, and the journal World has confirmed the investigation began after Arist Wright complained that Mangino poked him in the chest. Poked him? Oh, come on.
Give him a little poke and choke?
He poked a guy in the chest and got fired for that? If he choked somebody, then I get it. But if
Who's the coach? Who's the coach who put the kid with the concussion in the hot box?
What?
Don't you remember the college football coach who was coaching like that was some big ESPN like analyst, right? And his son was playing college football somewhere. I want to say like Texas Tech or something. And he gets a concussion in practice and the coach just like stuffs him in the equipment locker or something.
Are you talking about the movie Radio?
No, no. There, it's in recent history.
Craig James' son. It was Mike Leach?
It was Mike Leach.
Craig?
Mike Leach is my boy. I love Coach Leach.
Okay. Oh, my God. You're right. Okay. The title of this article is called Daddy's Little Girl, Adam James and the Mike Leach Firing.
Yep.
What the fuck is going on? Okay. Mike Leach is a baller, though.
Yeah, super baller. That's why he got the Washington State job right after.
Oh, that's a sick Sports Illustrated with Mike Leach on the front of it.
Coach Leach did.
Mike, oh my God. Hey, CJ's done with class. Good to see it, buddy. Good to see it. Mike Leach took Texas Tech to new heights, going 84-43 in 10 seasons. Leach was fired by the university in December 2009 after being accused of mistreating receiver Adam James, the son of ESPN broadcaster Craig James. Leach has denied any wrongdoing in the case. Here is the account of the incident from his new book, Swing Your Sword. Adam was a kid who seemed like he had been given everything he wanted his whole life and acted as if things did not go exactly how he wanted. Then it was because someone was treating him unfairly or his failures were somebody else's fault. Well, that actually sounds like a couple of our teammates. Huh. Coach is getting fired for shit that they didn't do. Huh. Oh, weird.
Go fuck yourself, Cavante.
This is amazing. I'm glad that Leach has found success after this because that's bullshit. I bet
Craig James rumored to have killed numerous hookers in Dallas back in the 80s. Google it.
The dad?
Craig James.
The ESPN guy killed analyst. Hookers?
Rumored What's to kill going- numerous hookers. Not just See, a hooker. Numerous. Hey, kill
He's a hooker person. Serial killer? Drake laughing at something he would do. Hey, I mean, you know what it is, right? You know what it is. I don't know who Lister's saying was a little intense.
Mike Leach, probably, or Bobby Knight.
Here's a good question.
Hurricane, I got some family in Tampa, so they got out of there.
Yeah, that's not good. I was hearing about that on the Chris and two guys named Chris podcast I was listening to earlier. Is PJ Fleck going to get his first win over the Hawks? Will Minnesota win the West? I'll tell you what, Chad King.
It stinks that they're having a great year.
It sure looks that way. And let's take a little look-see at why it looks that way. Through three games, and granted, their out-of-conference schedule was probably worse than like some D3 teams. They were number one in defense and number one in offense, both in the country.
Swish, do you need a psychiatrist recommendation? I've got some medication that might help.
So Minnesota, after four games, is currently leading the country in total defense. They are only allowing 187 yards a game. That's pretty good. They've only given up three touchdowns, which is – Kevin and I talked about it. They've given up three touchdowns and a field goal. We've given up – Rutgers scored a touchdown. Iowa State scored a touchdown. And then a field goal, and a field goal. So we've given up one less point than them. We are sixth in total defense. We're only allowing 236 yards per game. Michigan, this week's opponent, is eighth, only allowing 244 yards per game. So that's two teams. Oh, and by the way, Illinois is only allowing 234 points per game. Three of our opponents left on the schedule are currently sitting top eight in the country in defense. That's not great, considering that our offense is still 131st in the country, gaining just under 233 yards per game. We are damn close, though. We are damn close to 130. New Mexico, we're on your fucking heels, boys. We're coming for you. I can't believe that Craig James guy is rumored to have killed hookers. That's he a serial all. Killer?
Well, obviously, if he's killed a bunch of hookers, that's just hasn't been convicted.
Some grumbling about Saturday's game being 11 a.m. and not a night game in Iowa City. How many points are the lights worth in Kinnick?
14.
It's a great question. More than you would know. I mean, I think more than we want to admit. I don't know what happens.
55 to 24.
16, 14. The fucking demons come out in Kinnick Stadium when it's dark.
Moon's out, goon's out, baby.
And I don't know what happens, but some fairy dust falls on that opposite sideline. They start to play tight. Buttholes get tight.
And Kinnick gets loud.
And it gets loud. Like three false start penalties in a row. Loud. If I'm betting money this weekend, 10 times, right? If somehow in a vacuum we magically played this game 10 times, I'm guessing the Hawks get run 7, maybe 8.
Get run? Like run out of the building, just steamrolled 8 out of 10 times? Then we're 0 for 10. If you think we get steamrolled 8 times, then there's no time that we win.
I think there's one time that we win.
Well, then we can't get steamrolled 8 times. We got to get steamrolled like 4 or 5.
Okay, we get steamrolled 4 times. Another 4 times handily beat us by two to three touchdowns.
That's steamrolled, dude.
Okay, 2 touchdowns. 21
points is a steamrolling.
You're right. I'm being honest, dude.
Dude, I ain't tuning in to watch this ass whipping.
I am because I run a podcast. But you don't have to because you don't have to. This year's podcasting Drake is Drake Frosted Flakes Kulik.
Sure.
The night game thing, they can't just switch it to a night game. Like they don't have
the TV contracts decide that.
Yeah. Harbaugh did get quoted today saying that Kinnick is the place where top 5 teams go to die.
He got quoted that?
Yeah, he said that in his press conference.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we're in their head, if not at least a little bit.
Damn.
And Zach chimes back in. It was rumored that Drake was at the High Rollers event. There was an alien on the premises. Drake took care of it. You just fucking ruled.
Dude.
Unbelievable.
You calling him an alien's funny because when he stepped into the cage, I was like, Jesus Christ, you look like the Predator.
Yeah. I mean, he was in that movie. The last time, where'd it go? The last time we got steamrolled at Kinnick was Penn State Rainstorm in 2012. I was at that game. It wasn't fun.
I'm happy to not have ever been part of a steamrolling in Kinnick. That would have really stunk.
What's the worst we ever got beaten, Kinnick?
Iowa State 2014. I don't care if it was by 1 point or 40. That was the worst loss we ever took in Kinnick. Second to Penn State 2017. That's the worst loss we ever took in Kinnick. Fuck Iowa State. That Penn State loss is the worst loss. The second worst loss I ever took in my life. Maybe third.
That one hurt, boys.
That one has part of my soul. Like I can remember the part of the bench I was standing on. Same. When part of my humanity died and never to come back again.
I am pretty positive.
I have a Horcrux in the Kinnick bench.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we all do. A part of the 2017 team lives in the turf beads of Kinnick.
Because that one damn near killed me. I walked into traffic that night.
We did lose to Paul Rhodes.
Yikes. I said that was a top 3 loss in Kinnick, dude. I'm telling you. It's probably second. Third might be that Nebraska comeback in 2014.
Jesus Christ. I was part of letting that happen. The two punt returns that they took back on us. I mean, Dylan Kidd trying to tackle returners.
Yikes.
I mean, and we were in a bad spot, man.
That Northwestern loss at home when you and I fucked up and let the punt go with 10 guys.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Nothing like the N320 fuck off.
Oh, no.
We both snapped the ball with 10 guys on the field, dude.
Did Drake and I lose a game for us? Oh, no. That one, actually, more than anything, that might be the hardest thing to claim responsibility over in my life. In my
literally,
fucking life.
Dude. Literally, dude, having to look in the mirror and know that, like, the truth is the truth. It hurts.
I looked. I have goosebumps. I'm sorry, Hawk. I'm sorry to all of Hawkeye Nation.
I felt ill.
Yeah, that makes me a little sick. Because I would step over the ball and I would look right. And I, just from being in that position so many times and knowing what formation we called for that specific punt, would know how many guys I need to my right. And then I would look left and see how many guys were to the left. And then I would look right again, more as like a back over my shoulder to look at Drake. And then one last time, you know, you cross the street and you look right, and then you look left, or you look
and
left.
If there's a car coming, you don't walk into the street, right?
And if there is a car, you wait, right? Well, there was a proverbial, a fucking Mack truck coming,
yeah.
Because Riley McCarron wasn't out there. Not just Riley, but there was nobody out there. And then I looked to the left, and I noticed that there's only one gunner out there. But sometimes the clock is ticking down and it feels like, fuck, man, we got to get this ball off. And
I'm the guy in the punt. I'm the guy with the green dot, right? Like the call is through me. I echo it like I'm the quarterback. I do the cadence and I'm supposed to make sure everybody's there. And so I take 50% of that one, pal. You still snapped it like an asshole.
I didn't snap it.
I just told you to snap it.
I had final say.
You still snapped it.
I had final say. I had final say. I knew that we were 10 on 11, and I said,
our 10's better.
We'll be fine. You know? It wasn't just like, I think we might have 10. No, it was like, I know we have 10, but I need to snap the ball. And then they ran it to that side and took it all the way back to the 5-yard line. And as I turned to the right, covering on that play, I thought, oh, fuck, we did have 10, didn't we? Not good.
Oops.
Sterling Shepard's ACL tear last night. I didn't watch the game. I went to sleep.
It was bad. It was a sad one, dude. He was on the other side of the field. The play went left. He was on the right side of the field, literally jogging, and his knee just buckled in a straight line jog.
Wow, that's crazy. Drake and I have talked about before how the NFL is at a point where they are such insane athletes that their bodies actually aren't built to withstand the torque and pressure and impact that is often put on them. And that's why there's so many injuries, is because the level at which the game has evolved to of is surpassing the level at which human bodies can maintain health. It's a little crazy. This was funny. This was pretty funny. Lister, I'm glad you brought this one up. This is very on brand for us. Gavin's coming in to give Caleb a blow, a much needed blow. Sometimes you need a blow. Sometimes. In fact, we talked about that in DHT. It'll be up later. You know, how much would it take? Michigan does cover the locker room.
I doubt it because
no, they do. They do.
They came in, they covered it up, and we beat them.
Oh,
the last time they were ranked number four, and they came in, covered up the locker room, and got beat.
You're right. You're right. Wisconsin always seems to get us in some stupid fashion at Kinnick. They always seem to get us anyway. They have just been better than us for a decade, and that's just it is just is what it is. So it's tough.
Getting juked out by Jabril Peppers. I had the opportunity to have an absolute highlight knockout of Jabril Peppers. And I took the wrong angle because I got scared and he was running away from me. And all I thought was, you're so fast, so let me try and run at an angle and to be helpful. And then he cut back. And if I would have just taken the proper angle like that I was told to take, I would have been in his blind spot with a head of steam. And he would have just turned around to me completely blowing his head off. And that one will haunt me until I die, for sure.
Question was from Zach Moore there on Facebook. What was Drake's most memorable play as a player? Mine's obviously the Polecat. Hard to beat that one as the long snapper. But second for me is probably a tie between the Amani Hooker fake punt that we ran against Illinois. That was... just
it was supposed to go to me.
It was supposed to go to Drake and was a house call if we get one block, I'm pretty sure, by Jake Gervais. But we did get a first down on it. And let's see. There was the Michigan snap and kick was that was decently memorable. Ben Janowski, it's probably not Drake's tutty versus Ohio State because athletes often remember the negative, the bad. Those are usually the ones that stick the most. That's why me and Drake's memory of that play where Riley wasn't on the punt team versus Northwestern is probably more vivid than a lot of the times where Drake got the ball. How much would it take to take a blindside hit from Riley Moss? I mean, I'll get hit by Riley.
Dude, I'd fold Riley Moss in half. Don't come see me, Riley.
Riley's going to have to bring – I mean, me and Riley weigh about the same. Like, Riley's going to have to bring it if he wants to break me down, you know? I mean, it would hurt. Blindside, you're probably still going to get lifted up, but I'd rather take a hit from him than old Jack Campbell, you know?
What?
Seth Benson would fuck me up. Let's take one more question. During the Broncos Niners game, Ayuk scored a TD on a slant, and the announcer said Ayuk comes inside of him.
It's very on brand for you, Swish.
You're right. You're right. He did say that, and evidently that was a penalty. The inside receiver was blocking more than a yard downfield, and that was Josie was pissed on that play because he looked out. He can't get there in time, and he's just like, after that, too, I thought the Niners were going to run that shit. But then it turned into Iowa football, and they had like 18 punts, and Josie was making plays. And the Bronx, you know, Broncos Nation, let's ride. Let's ride. You know, and then that was it, 11-10. All right, I'm going to get off here. I'm going to post DHT. Drake, thanks for appeasing the people today with your appearance on the live show.
You bet, guy.
And hopefully you guys had a fun time. This is going to be posted, so if any of you did not see the full show, you'll be able to hear or watch it back on the main feeds, YouTube or the podcast feed. You won't hear from Drake again until DHT next week, or I guess when you listen to this week's DHT. But if you're not a part, subscribe to the YouTube, by the way. We just passed 2,000 subs, numbies.
We need to get 2,000 on the Patreon, dude.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Subscribe to the Patreon, and you can hear us just – I mean, we talked about Adam Levine's girlfriend. We talked about Jesus and Josie. We talked about a lot of things. This is good sentiment as we leave. Missing you, Drake. It's good to have a little, you know, supply and demand. We want to create demand.
If you want my services, they cost $8 on patreon.com/washedupwalkons. I don't suck dick for free.
But he does for $8. That's it. Thank you guys for being here. And that's it. I don't know what Kaylee just said, but her mom has problems. That's all I know. That's it. That's the end of the live show. Congrats on 2,000 subs. Thank you, Lisa. We will talk to everybody on Thursday when Kevin and I preview the show. Make sure you all have your top five breads list ready, because it's happening. Until then, peace.